Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello. I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us today for Direct Mail and Social Media, Peaceful Coexistence, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. You know, social media isn't a fad, and I think we all accept that. It's really part of life, and businesses have made the transition to leveraging social media technologies. What companies want to do is really work to effectively blend print and direct mail campaigns. They want to blend those with social media to reach demographics of a number of different ages and backgrounds. Direct mail and social media are visual communications. What we see is that direct mail offers that sense of touch, but blending it with social media means that it can be incorporated with video, audio, any number of technologies to enhance the overall interactivity of that direct mail piece. And software tools can be leveraged to drive referrals and special offers to friends, associates, colleagues, enabling businesses to realize increased response rates while developing an understanding of who those social influencers are in their network. So what we're going to be doing today is talking about strategies for merging social media with direct mail. You'll hear about tools for driving referrals for social networks. And you're going to hear about the role that print service providers can play as you look at blending direct mail and social media. And so to help me out today, I've got two experts in the field. The first is Renee Hall, and Renee is the Vice President of Business Development for a company called Ducky. Now, Ducky is a software developer, but what Renee's going to do is really cover what I think is something very important, which is a lot of case histories about how direct mail and social media have been effectively deployed together. And then you'll hear from John Ortiz, and John is the Director of Sales and Operations at Your Preferred Printer, and he's going to share with you how he as a service provider has successfully blended direct mail and social media. Now, before we get started, I do want to spend just a minute talking to you about how to enjoy the webinar more effectively. First of all, if you happen to be having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget below. If you've got a question, and we'll be taking your questions throughout the session today, would you please use the submit via the Q&A box? Make sure you disable those pop-up blockers. And if you want to see everything that the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, with that as a backdrop, what we're going to be covering today is, first of all, just a few facts around social media and exactly what the market looks like today. We're going to talk about how enterprise communications are changing and how you can drive direct mail response rates by blending it with social media. You're going to hear from John about how a marketing service provider can actually make it happen. We'll wrap with some recommendations and conclusions, and I would tell you to keep submitting those questions throughout the entire webinar. Let me start with just a few facts. And what's kind of nice is at the end of the year, everybody updates their statistics. And so what I've done is pulled the end of the year statistics on social media. Now, think about it. LinkedIn has 259 million users. And by the way, about 40% actually pay for LinkedIn Premium, which means they want to know who's looking at them. And then, of course, you've got Facebook. Now, Facebook, as of the latest statistics, has 1.19 billion users globally. 238 million of them are in Canada, or the U.S. and Canada. 95% log in daily, and 73% of users access Facebook via mobile. And everybody quotes this statistic, and I think it's true that if it were a country, it would be the world's third largest. But we're also seeing a lot of other effective use of social media. And I tell folks, Twitter has got a ton of usage in the marketplace. And in fact, when you think about it, there are over 230 million users. They do 500 million tweets a day. 427,000 C-level executives are on Twitter. So it's a big opportunity in terms of reaching the right person with a good, solid message. And, boy, another social media tool that's taken hold is Pinterest. And its launch date was March of 2010. It's only 3 years old. And yet what you've got are 70 million users as of July 10th, 2013. A lot of them are women. And what you're seeing is that the percentage of internet-using women that are on Pinterest is 20%. So those are big numbers. And then, of course, there's Instagram. Now, they've already got 150 million active monthly users. 75 million are active on a daily basis. By the way, 60% are outside the U.S. 55 million photos are added every day, and 35 million selfies have been posted. I think the term selfie took on a whole new definition when Barack Obama and the Prime Minister of, I've lost the country, took some selfies. But it's a whole different game in terms of selfies getting recognition. And by the way, Instagram, there are 1.2 billion daily likes. And then there's YouTube. And video is absolutely a stronghold as we look at 2014. When you think about YouTube, it's kind of the mecca of video marketing. And there are 1 billion unique visitors monthly. Believe it or not, it reaches more adult ages 18 through 34 than any cable network. And 100 hours of video are uploaded every minute. So social media is here to stay. It's not going away. And so what we want to look at then is how are enterprises, in fact, actually leveraging these new communications techniques. Well, first of all, we just did a study, and we actually surveyed more than 1,026 enterprises in a variety of vertical markets. And we asked them where they saw media usage increasing or decreasing. The number one area where they were going to increase media usage was actually social networks. Now, keep in mind, that's off of a relatively small base. The other thing that we learned from the study was that the average number of media types used in any campaign is 3. And believe it or not, 47% of all printed marketing materials were linked to some form of an online digital channel. So people want to blend print with our alternate channels. And what are they doing? Well, they're putting links to different channels in brochures, direct mail pieces, and bills and statements. And what they're linking to, believe it or not, is either their website, which hopefully has been mobile-enabled, or they're linking to their social media sites. And the objectives, it's pretty simple. If you look around at your kids and your grandkids, what you find out is they are the users of social media and all these digital channels. And so what marketing executives want to do is they want to blend print and digital to, A, reach that broader audience, B, pick out and reach some target demographics, and finally, boost response rates. And so what we're going to do is spend the balance of the webinar really taking a look at how to make direct mail and all of those social media channels that we talked about peacefully coexist. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Renee Hall. Renee is going to talk to you a little bit about what they're doing in terms of utilizing social media and what they've got available at Ducky to help drive campaigns and increase response rates. So with that, Renee, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. I appreciate that introduction. So as Barb said, Ducky is a marketing software. And what I'm going to do today is really give you guys a good overview of some research and, most importantly, some case studies that we have seen play out in the industry, because of all the things that we know we can do to help other print providers really grow their business and expand into new categories or maybe new industries they haven't reached before. We know one of the best ways to do that is to just share some stories. So as a provider, just to give you a bit of an overview before we jump in, so you can actually see a little bit about Ducky, is we are marketing software. We are working right now primarily with agencies and printers, and we do a lot of research based on their experiences with their clients. So that's really what I'm going to talk with you about today, is some of that research and some of that high level, that 60,000 view down of what are our print providers looking for, how are they reaching their goals, and hopefully that will translate into how you can also do that by adding a social element to your traditional print business. So a few things that we've looked at in the last couple of years as a service provider is, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of research. We're really looking to see what is the industry looking for, what are printers looking for, what are businesses looking for. As a provider of a marketing service, it's not really just about our goals, but it's really about paying attention to the industry, paying attention to these new technologies. So as Barb did a really great job of explaining some of the top social media sites, that's helpful. That's something that we need to be aware of because it helps us realize where consumers are is where our businesses want to be. So if we are a specialty maybe provider, we're bringing that print piece, we need a way to bring that offline piece to life. So that way, instead of it just being an offline component now, we can start engaging with all of these technologies that consumers are already interacting on. If we know that businesses and customers are active on Facebook and on Instagram and on Pinterest, then we want a way to bring our service to them and to connect those worlds. So one thing that we used to see a lot in the industry is a very segmented marketing strategy. So we had a print company, you know, a business would have, let's say, a print budget. They would have an email budget. They would have a social media budget. And those different departments didn't always interact very well. What we've seen really in the last 12 to 18 months is a real merging, that businesses are looking to have one marketing strategy. They're looking to have all of those marketing channels, instead of them being different departments and just different budget categories, really it's one strategy, and they want to now come up with the most effective formula using the best channels. So this is a great opportunity for printers to really stand out and to justify that direct mail is really one of the best channels, a very cost-effective way if you do it right. If you can blend it with that online world, then this print component can actually be very, very vital in the success of someone's marketing goals. Now, a few marketing goals that we've really identified, and I would hope that you would be able to probably identify some of your customers' goals as well. I've listed a few out here. Create a customer database. So this is something we see a lot of businesses looking to do. They are looking to do this through direct mail. They're looking to do this really through any channel that will help establish a customer database for them. Identify top customers and influencers. Businesses don't just want to have a bank of customers, but they really want to start kind of sifting through that and segmenting out those customers and identifying people who are very active, maybe people who are more active than others and have more influence than others in their social realm. They want to take advantage of the customers who are spending the most money and talking about them the most, and then also converting their friends into customers as well. A lot of businesses are looking to expand their online presence through marketing outreaches. So they are needing to grow their Facebook page. You might have a business that comes to you and says, you know, they're looking to do a direct mail piece, but their other marketing goals are to get more Facebook likes. They're looking to maybe grow their Instagram following. They're looking to, you know, somehow add Pinterest to this marketing mix. So this is your opportunity to blend these worlds for them. They're looking to merge those offline and online outreaches, as we've mentioned. They need access to updates. They need access to results. They need access to customers. More and more and more, we're seeing that it's so important that we can justify and we can explain results and activity in a promotion. Direct mail gives us a beautiful opportunity to really track results and to see how customers are engaging. If you're using and you're combining that social element, then it brings a whole new level of analytics that you can now provide a client. Generate more leads. This one, I think, for all of time, no matter how much more the marketing world shifts and changes and how many new things appear, the number one goal that we're all looking ultimately to do at the end of the day is generate more leads. We want to turn people who are leads into customers, which ultimately is going to help us increase our ROI. So one thing that we see through these marketing goals is printers that are really looking, they're wanting to reach these goals, but maybe they only feel like they specify. They really have an expertise in reaching one or two of them. And as Barb was mentioning earlier, with this social component now, we have an opportunity to expand our services. We have a chance now that instead of just specializing in creating a customer database or just increasing ROI, we can really reach all of these marketing goals that businesses do have by just putting together that right marketing formula. So the question that we really see is, how can we actually use direct mail to reach those goals? That's what it all comes down to. It looks real good on paper, but ultimately we want to know, we want to see, how can direct mail actually reach those marketing goals? It really wasn't that long ago that traditional direct mail was really taking a big hit and a big shift. It was just a couple years ago that we saw people that were using direct mail a large portion of their budget, and they were slashing those budgets as digital media really emerged. People, businesses were really quickly kind of jumping shift. I would imagine most of you, really saw a shift in your own business just 3-4 years ago as people were paying more attention to email. They're paying more attention to the social networks as they began popping up. Even the number of social networks just from 5 years ago to today have multiplied hundreds and hundreds of percentages. So we really noticed that businesses quickly walked away from where they were spending their money to try these new digital environments, thinking that they were really going to be the most cost effective. And what we've noticed in probably the last 12 months is a shifting, I would say for the most part, really bringing things back into a more healthy balance, that a healthy marketing mix isn't going to put all of their hope into just one marketing channel, but they're really going to start utilizing the benefits of multiple different channels. And we've seen a lot of businesses come back to direct mail and realize that it's actually cost effective if you can justify the cost, because if a mailer translates into customers, which translates into sales, which because of the social component, that new customer can now translate into a larger online presence. They can now translate into an influencer in your customer database. That it's not just the direct mail piece anymore, but it's really the entry point into driving customers to this whole additional world that you're creating, you're cultivating this conversation with those customers. So here's a few reasons why we see that the new direct mail works. And by the new direct mail, I want to clarify that I'm referring to the direct mail with this social component. So now, it's not just a direct mail promotion. We are putting together a marketing promotion. Direct mail is the driving force, but we're going to use all of those social elements as a way to effectively push that promotion. We're going to keep the life of that promotion alive, and I'll show you in a moment through some case studies some ways that you can practically do that yourself.
Hey, Renee, I do have a real quick question from our audience for you. You know, we hear so much about social media and, you know, the Facebook, if it were a country, it'd be the third largest. My question of you is, let's assume that the customer has tilted and he says, I'm just going to do social media. How do you go about convincing that client that blended media is better?
Great question. One thing that we've actually seen with clients who even are primarily operating in the social realm is they might be operating in that right now because it's something that they know how to do, but a lot of them are not 100% satisfied in the success rates that they're getting. And so what we recommend is you really help clarify and you really help direct them in showing end results that direct mail isn't just about exposure, but it's about conversion. And what we want to do is put something interactive into someone's hands that's going to drive them to that online component. And we really try and paint a whole picture that, you know, if you want to grow your online presence, you want to be interacting with customers, well, then you need to put something interactive in their hands. And the most tangible way to do that, one of the most effective ways to do that, is through that direct mail piece. We'll take them through case studies. We'll show them other mailing pieces that businesses have done. We'll explain results that they've walked through. And that's typically the best way that we are able to kind of practically break it down for them and show them that, you know what, it's worth a shot. Let's just do one campaign. Let's give it a shot. If this works, if this becomes a part of your marketing mix over, let's say, the next 12 months, then we believe that these are all the goals that we're going to be able to help you reach if you do add this to your marketing mix. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure. Great job, Renee. Thanks.
Okay, great. So here are a few reasons why the new direct mail works. It's tangible. You know, direct mail is still something that you get in the mailbox. You hold on to it. You may not pay attention to it today, but you're still going to come back to it. An email, it comes in the morning. There's a good chance it might just get deleted. There's a good chance that it doesn't have any type of shelf life. It can quickly come in unless someone is engaged in that moment and they respond right away. There's a good chance that that campaign will die out quickly. That's very different than direct mail. Tangible, you can hold on to it. It's not just something you see. It's actually something you can hold. And because of that, again, it has that longer shelf life. It generates leads. Direct mail is a great way to take a purchase list. You can take a mass mailer, something you're saturating the market with, some sort of insert, and turn this impression into an actual lead, into actually someone who can who's going to turn into a customer. Now, we see this done primarily by including some type of personalized URL or an IVR number on a direct mail piece where someone, we're pulling some kind of reaction from them. We're taking them from the mail piece to that online component. They're calling into a call center where we're capturing that information. They're not just a mailer. They're not just a piece anymore. They're actually a lead and now in that funnel to turn into a customer. It's integrated. Mailing serves as a connector for the online channels. This is something we see more and more and more success in. How do we start a great promotion? Let's go ahead and send out a mail piece. You can accompany that with a few days later, send out a reminder email. Let's start doing posts on the business's Facebook page, their Twitter page, their Instagram. Let's put an ad on the website. So that mail piece is becoming an integrated part of the entire mix. It's not its own entity, but it's working together with everything, and we're putting all of our best kind of forces going in the same direction. It's personal and targeted. One great thing about direct mail as well is you can be very targeted. We are always encouraging that you are pulling customers, that you are pulling some research for your clients so you can get to know that database even better. If you run a promotion for a client and you can figure out who their target audience is, who their most engaged users are, what type of promotions and offers do those people like to receive? Maybe when do they want to make a purchase? By using an online promotion that's added to your direct mail piece, you can actually start getting a lot of data research, even if it's just one or two questions. And what that will help you do is immediately follow up with a campaign that says, hey, we just did this direct mail piece. Now we know that these customers are looking to make a purchase in 6 weeks or 3 months or 6 months. So let's go ahead and get those mail pieces lined up, and let's get that promotion in the works. Social sharing. I'm going to actually show you an example of what this looks like. Having the social component added to your campaign extends far beyond just driving people to a Facebook page, but now we can actually generate new leads from customers. One direct mail piece can turn into five customers because of this social sharing element. And then also, we see direct mail can help generate a new online presence. So if you have a business that has no online presence at the moment, but they're really looking to grow that or establish that, this is a great way for them to, through the hands of their customers, to get some online exposure, which is definitely going to help if you're working with maybe a newer business or client. So really what all this has boiled down to for us is that there really has never been a problem with direct mail. It's just been finding that right formula. So how do we merge that offline in that online world so that we're most effectively reaching a customer? We see this a lot of ways. As long as direct mail boils down to being what we consider these top four things, then we see it successful. It's interactive. It's driving people from that offline component into some type of online arena. It might be a website. It could be a microsite. It could be a promotion online, a Facebook page. But we're driving them somewhere where we're going to be able to engage with them. We're going to put them through a very focused experience so that we can turn them and we can push them into hopefully a sale or a purchase or signing up for some kind of service or showing up in our store. The new direct mail is social, it's integrated, and it's measurable, as we've discussed in the slide before. So now we're actually going to walk through. I want to give you a quick look real fast of a company that we worked with, and this was a direct mail piece that did super well, and we have a couple different case studies that I'm going to walk you through, but just quickly to scan through this one. This was a new business in an area, although Chick-fil-A, if you are not familiar, they're kind of they're a quick service restaurant. It's similar, I would say, but at a higher level than a McDonald's or a Wendy's, I guess you could say, from a customer's perspective. It's a bit more of a specialty restaurant. They only serve chicken. Some new franchises showed up in an area, and they were looking to establish a customer database. So their primary goals, if we go back to that goal chart, was to grow a database, establish customers. They were looking for an online presence. They needed sales in their franchise locations, and so they put together a mail piece that was going to go out to a purchase list based off a certain mile radius of each one of those franchise locations. So you can actually see here, this is an example of that mail, of that postcard. There were two perforated parts on each side. This was a plastic postcard. This really stood out in the mail when it got to the customer. It's, you know, heavier than just a traditional postcard because it did have that plastic element. And then they could tear off these cards and actually bring them into the store. What we directed them to do, though, was to go online. So this is where that online component is. So if we've been talking about merging offline and online, this is how we did it strategically. We drove customers to a highly visible domain here. Now, I do want to just little side note here. Barb had some great statistics earlier about where people are traditionally sending customers from that mail piece, maybe to a website, maybe to a Facebook page. I think I saw on there 21% of people were sending them to a personalized microsite like this card would have gone to. It is always important as a printer that you make sure wherever you're sending a customer that link is very visible. We've seen time and time again people come back and say that, you know, a campaign didn't have a great success rate, or they did this mailer one time. They were trying to add that online component. No one went to the site. When we look at the mailer, we realize that the domain is, you know, size 10 font in the bottom right-hand corner. No one can even see it. So you want to be sure when you're designing a mail piece that whatever you want the customer to do is the focal point. So if you want, if your focal point of a mail piece is to drive someone to that online world, then you want to make sure that it's really featured in the design so they know exactly what they need to do. Now, for our customers, for this one, they did go to this online microsite, which is where they were able to input their information. They went from being a mail piece, a purchased home from that purchase list, into being an actual customer in this in the franchise's database so they could remarket to them later. Once they input their information, they were asked a few questions. There was some data research going on there. You know, would you like a spicy chicken sandwich? Have you ever been to one of these specific franchise locations? Which one is your preferred location? So we slipped in a little bit of data research. That way we could really use that to start targeting them and following up with them more effectively in the future. After they answered those questions, they were then able to share. So that social component that we were referencing earlier, how do we add social? How do we get a customer to talk about our business? Well, this was the way we did it in this site. We had multiple options where a customer could actually share that promotion with their friends on their own personal Facebook pages. So this wasn't going on the business page. This was actually separate. This was coming directly from the customer. They would click on whichever icon, whichever social network they wanted to share on, a pre-generated message would pop up, and then it would post out directly into that customer's newsfeed. So whether that was for Twitter, whether that was for Facebook, whichever network that they opted to share on. So we slipped in the online world to the promotion two different ways here. One is through the customer, but then there's another way, which is also through the business. So if you're running a direct mail promotion and you do have like an online component like this website here or like the microsite here that we used, then you can start promoting that on the business Facebook page, on the business Twitter page. put an ad on the company website that says, you know, click here to get $5 off. Instead of sending them to just a page to print out a coupon, they can actually go into that microsite. So now you've got people coming in from the mailer, you've got people coming in from the website, you've got people coming in from Facebook and Twitter. They're all coming into the same funnel. You're able to engage with them and reach all those marketing goals in a pretty seamless way. So here's some quick statistics just to give you an idea of the Chick-fil-A results. We had over 14,000. For this franchise, we had 5,000 mailers that went out for that surrounding franchise location. Over 14,000 people actually came in. So we had, obviously, that's well over 100% response because of that social share element. People are sharing with their friends. So we're taking direct mail. We're bringing it online. We're increasing exposure. We're creating a really simple system for a business to want to do direct mail on a more consistent basis. They were easily able to look at results and pull how many people were coming in from the mail piece. We had over a 20% response to the mail piece. We were very, very happy that for a new business in a new area, over 20% response specifically from the mailer. And then because of that social share element, even that many more people came through as well. The business also did some printed ads, and they passed out flyers to local businesses and area local businesses around the franchise for just employees that wanted to come. You know, they knew they'd be coming in there on their lunch break. So they implemented it. They really used that printed piece and that direct mail piece as the two primary ways to drive traffic for this campaign. The social element obviously added a pretty large addition to their specific site. 1,800 people shared the campaign. Over 8,000 additional customers came into that online site because of the social shares on the customers' Facebook pages. And you can kind of see here a quick little snapshot of what that word of mouth looks like, that sharing component looks like from a high level.
Hey, Renee, I have a real quick question for you. How does the cashier, if I'm at the Chick-fil-A, know how the coupon was, in fact, actually activated?
It works a couple different ways. So depending on the business, depends on you know, there's a couple different ways each business kind of executes that differently. For the most part, what they will have is just a static coupon code that the cashier at the register knows input. That's where they take the discounts, put in, you know, whether it's a free offer or if it's for a percentage off. Printed on that coupon is going to be just a static code that they can then input, and then that would go into the system. You can also have a check. You can actually have a scanner where you can scan the cards at the point of sale as well. It's really up to the local business as to how they want to track those redemptions. If they want to scan them on site, if that's not really built into their workflow and they'd rather just that static coupon, we've seen them doing both.
Great. Thank you.
No problem. So another quick example here is Steinmar. This is a large retailer. They actually sent out 20,000 postcards to a selection of stores. And again, you can see here, they were driving people online to this online site. We can see it's very visible. So customers knew exactly what to do. They were going to enter to win a shopping spree. They were going to be able to print out a coupon as well. And they were going to do that by going online. Now, we have heard quite a bit, you know, just as social media has evolved, a lot of questions on, do customers want to move from one channel to the next? This concept of cross-channel marketing, of pushing a customer from one marketing piece into another marketing piece, is that too abrupt? And, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was a little of a newer request to take someone from that mail piece and say, go online to get this. As of today, people are pretty much, you know, glued to their iPhones. They sleep with them. They travel with them. You know, if they were caught in the snowstorm and they could pick food or their iPhone, they probably would have picked their iPhone. So as of today's world, it's really not a stretch at all to ask someone to move from this offline component into an online arena because their worlds are pretty seamless. You know, their online world for some people is actually even a little bit more than their real life. So just to touch on that, that's typically a question we often get is it hard for customers to move from that offline to that online world? And luckily with today's world, it's just it's not a big jump for them anymore. So for this campaign, customers went online, similar process. They entered into that online promotion site, filled in their information, answered a few questions. They shared with their friends. We ended up with over 150% response because of that social share element as well. So lots of great examples that you can find out there of taking that offline piece, driving people online. It's going to do two things. It's interactive for the customer. We want to create that engagement with the customer that really leaves an impression on them. We want it to be interactive. We want to ask them questions because you want to be able to follow up with those people. You want to turn just that first impression into a conversation. And that's one thing that we see over and over again coming up with a really effective marketing mix and marketing formula is that you want to take it from being this is a print job to being that this is the beginning of your marketing conversation with a customer database. So we're going to start with this mail piece. We're going to follow up with this next mail piece. We're going to continuously drive people online because we want to keep the conversation going from one channel to the next channel. We want to be able to remind them, hey, they got the mail piece, but then they saw the business post about the promotion on their Facebook page later, and they ended up responding maybe to the Facebook promotion instead of the mail piece. But either way, both of those two channels can work together to accomplish that same goal together. So as a printer, one thing I want to touch on, because I know we have quite a few attendees on the line today, and I want to be respectful that people are probably having a wide range of maybe experience in this transition. A few years ago when Ducky first stepped on the scene, we started working with a lot of printers that were looking to transition into being marketing providers. They saw the shift, they were experiencing the shift internally, and they really needed a way to meet the demands and the needs of clients, but they needed to expand their skills and their services. So you might be on the line today and fall into that range where, you know what, maybe you're a printer, and this is all new to you. Adding this social element is very new. Or maybe you've been doing this for a little while at a smaller scale, or maybe you really have a lot of expertise in it. So we typically have seen two types of printers emerging. One are printers who actually fully transition into being marketing agencies that have in-house printers. So they really are printers. They've just really kind of changed their name and added to their marketing services so they can help provide clients with a more comprehensive strategy, but they always are including mail as a piece of that strategy. And then we also see printers, what we kind of call our printers plus. They're the printers who they're still providing those mail pieces, but they are always innovating, and they are looking to add this online component. They're looking to add that interactive and measurable piece to their outreaches, so it's not just they're not just a print provider, but really they are, they're more than a printer because they're that printer plus. They've got that marketing expertise as well, but they're still presenting themselves as a printer. So wherever you find yourself in your business, if you're new and you're looking to really be a printer and expanding those channels, or you're a printer and maybe you're operating as a marketing agency with some in-house print capabilities, you're in the same spectrum, and I would imagine that all of you guys would be able to relate in a lot of ways to needing a tool that's going to help you reach those goals effectively. So here's a couple business tips that we have for printers. We work with them quite a bit, and we're big fans of the print industry, and we have some really great relationships with the post office and some other organizations. So these are some tips that we recommend to new printers coming on the scene with us to help you grow your business and help you expand. One is embrace the new technologies. Don't be afraid of what's new. Just because it's new, it doesn't mean that you aren't able to be a provider of it. You don't have to be an expert at everything if you just find the right tools for your business. And you can let other people really be the expert, and you just operate through their expertise. Another one is to keep and or expand your services to be in line with overall marketing objectives. If you're reaching a niche audience or maybe a specific industry, then make sure that that niche or that industry, you're putting together a marketing mix that's effective for it. You know, we see the things that automotive needs, the automotive industry, it's very different than what the retail industry is looking for. And that's different than what, let's say, the restaurant industry is looking for. And that's different than service providers. So whatever you're reaching, take some time to really put together a good marketing mix for your businesses and your clients with the right tools that they need. Customers want results. This is across the board. As long as this industry is alive, as long as printers are here, any marketing agency, if a client isn't getting results, they're not going to stay. So you need to make sure that you're providing them with some type of analytics and some type of measurement where they can really see those results. And let's say you have a campaign that doesn't do well. If you have results, you have tracking, you have data research that you're putting in front of them, then even if a campaign doesn't reach, let's say, the percentages or the numbers that you're looking for, the fact that you can provide them a breakdown and you can really do some own internal research and find out, okay, why didn't the mailing do the way we thought it would? Maybe the customer database they provided, isn't as specific as they thought. So really look through. You can kind of really start backtracking and doing internal research if you have those measurements and analytics in numbers. And then last, and then we're going to move on, and I'm going to let John step in here and let him tell you his story with us, is keep your strategy simple and results-oriented. Creating a clear plan that can be replicated. Create a clear plan that can be replicated. If it's too complicated for a sales member to actually sell, then it's going to be too complicated for, I'm sorry, it's going to be too complicated for the customer to buy. When you're presenting a marketing mix, a new strategy, a new concept maybe for direct mail to your clients, keep it simple. You know, using three, four, five marketing channels, we recommend it. We really do. Use that direct mail. Use the business Facebook page. Use email. Whatever source, whatever channels they're using consistently, definitely use those. Don't take advantage of what you have. But keep it simple at the same time. It doesn't need to be too complicated that it's hard for a sales team member to actually sell that type of job. And then it's going to be hard for a customer to actually understand and grasp the whole picture. There's a lot of success in being simple and just putting a simple strategy in place with some really effective key channels and getting the results that you want. So with that, I'm actually going to move on now, and we're going to I'm going to pass the reins to John. John Ortiz is a printer that we worked with. He's got some great experience in this industry. He's been operating in direct mail overall for a very long time, but he's also been able to work with us, and we've had a great relationship with him. He has some really great success stories. So, John, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you if you want to get started.
All right, great. Thanks, Renee. I appreciate it. And I'll let you click through the slides for me, too. That's great. Just to give a little background, I'm the operations and sales director at YP Print. YP Print is located right outside of New Orleans. We have a 60,000 square foot. We like to call it a high performance printing and mail fulfillment facility. We do have an on-site Merlin. We do a decent amount of direct mail monthly. We have a half web, and we have digital presses. We had an iGen for years, and now we currently have Indigos. And we have some specialty equipment that we've developed to serve our existing clients. So ultimately, and you can go to the next slide, Renee. Ultimately, when we were looking for a provider, we realized that, you know, all of you guys in the printing business, I'm sure we weren't by ourselves. Putting ink on paper, a lot of times, price becomes a main factor in whether someone does business with you. And we continually saw our margins getting squeezed, even though we provided just tremendous service, we were down into these, really fighting and scraping and over, you know, half a pennies and pennies, and you know, it's kind of a tough, it's a tough way to kind of operate when you're getting squeezed like that. And so we realized early on years ago that we needed to take our business from just putting ink on paper and become more of a multi-channel provider, more of a it needed to be more of a consultative sale, and we needed to really start to embrace and blend technology into our offering, just because, you know, as much as we had to do it. When we had, you know, ultimately we had an iGen, and with the iGen came, a really neat software platform called XMPI. We were an XMPI. We used XMPI. Really, we're not very, you know, not that it's not a good software, but it seemed very labor intensive and cumbersome to us. And so we always had our eyes out there in the market to try to find a real fast, smart, modern, streamlined solution. And we needed it to be simple, just because, the way that we're set up, we needed it, you know, to be, you know, quick and easy. We could not, you know, it could not take up a tremendous amount of time with elaborate workflows and such. Just that's just the way our business was. This was probably 3.5-4 years ago. We were kind of thinking we'd love it to have a social element. We always were looking for ways to increase, the response rate on our customers' product and really kind of help them with calls to action. And we said, you know, social media, I think at the point that we started using this particular product, so Facebook had about 50 million users. So we were really on the cutting edge of adopting something like this. And then, you know, tracking and measurability. You know, we saw our print budgets being moved to online, and what we kept hearing was, hey, we want to be able to track it. We want to be able to measure it. We like that effect of it, where we can look at a campaign and we can actually, attach an ROI to it. And then we knew we saw the future coming, that we needed to become more of a marketing service provider instead of just a printer. So,
hey, John, I have a quick question that came in from the audience for you. What kind of staffing did you need to put in place, and how complicated was it for you to implement, the interactive social media type campaigns?
Well, you know, with the XMPI software, you know, we never could really, you know, it was extremely, extremely time consuming and cumbersome. And so because of that, we never really adopted it and used it at the level that I'm sure many people on this line, you know, have used it. And so when we were looking at providers, one of the things that had to happen is we said, you know what, if it takes more than a day for our staff to be taught how to use it, then it's not the right solution for us. And so the learning curve for us, just because of the ease of use of this particular software, was literally in a day we were up and running, and we were off to the races.
Great, thanks, John.
Yep. So how did we implement this? You know, Ducky offered a white label solution, so we white labeled the solution. We serve the automotive industry really, really heavily, and we have templated kind of products that work, direct mail products that really, really perform well. So, their system allowed us to go and create the matching kind of online component templates to those existing microsites, to those existing mail pieces, which even streamlined the process even more. The fact that the software was integrated with Salesforce.com, it allowed us and Ducky helped us create these workflows that would allow us to interact with our customers kind of automatically because of the way that it was integrated with Salesforce. And then the social media component of it was like icing on the cake, because there was nobody in the country that had integrated the social sharing component into a personalized URL. So you know, the ease of use of the product, the idea that it was it fit, you know, that it was, we needed it to be easy to use. We wanted it to be a modern offering. We wanted to kind of be on the cutting edge of the technology, and they were with the social sharing. The other component was, you know, the analytics and measurement of the campaigns. And one of the things that we fell in love with this particular software was, you know, Renee and her team took great pains to make the analytics and dashboards very, very visually stimulating and easy to understand. And so it's, you know, it became like eye candy. It was very impressive. When we showed it to customers, you could just tell that they, you know, they were like, wow, this is coming from a print facility. And it really put us on the cutting edge of being more than just someone laying ink on paper. And, you know, the other great thing was, because of the measurement and the analytics, when a campaign was over, now instead of, you know, in the old days when we'd lay that ink on paper, we'd all be sitting around wondering, I wonder how it performed. I wonder if it did well. I wonder, you know, if they liked what went on. You know, even though a lot of times we had no stake in the actual creative process, because of working with Renee and the Ducky team, they helped us understand calls to action, what we're going to get people to go online. And at the end of a campaign, we were able to sit down with a client and recap what they just did with us. And so it just created a tremendous amount of stickiness with the customer. You know, it's had just a tremendous impact on our business, you know, in the way that we present our offerings. We have become experts on call to action, and you know, through the help of the you know, of Renee and her team, we understand now and can sit with the customer, and we can show them case study after case study of the way to do things on a direct mail properly, a direct mail piece properly. We have a library of incentives and premiums and promotions that we know have worked before, that are going to help a customer maximize and achieve results that they've never gotten before. And it really put us in the forefront of being one of these hybrid printer marketing services providers, and it's just been invaluable to us in their business. I think there's a lot of great solutions out there that I'm sure a variety of you guys use. This just happened to be the one that really fit well with our organization at the time that we were looking for something, and it's been a great thing for us just in general. As far as, you know, we serve many industries, but our big market is the automotive industry, and I can proudly say we've you know, used this product on about 4,000 campaigns. It's probably over 4,000 now. And one of the, you know, I didn't mention this, but not only was Ducky a landing page and social media and analytics platform, but they had integrated something pretty interesting, which was the ability to provision call tracking numbers. And so not only were we placing pearls on the mail pieces, but we were also able to, right out of their platform, put call tracking numbers. And so each mail piece was not only equipped with a personalized URL, driving them to a landing page with the social features, but we also were able to provision call tracking numbers. So in this analytics dashboard, we're not only measuring the online component, but if there was a telephone component, we're measuring that also. And that's kind of the way Renee had mentioned there were little nuances that you know, per industry, this happened to be a nuance for the automotive industry that paid huge dividends. And it really put us from kind of, we were a good player in the automotive industry, and I think that we probably are the premier or one of the premier print facilities that serve the automotive industry in today's world. But that's about it for me, guys.
Well, hey, great, John. I do have a couple questions from the audience, and I'm going to throw this one to both you and Renee. And either one of you can pick it up. One of the big areas that our participants in the audience had a question with is, we basically talk about a lot of the business-to-consumer markets. Renee and John, have you effectively, or have you seen the tool sets effectively used
relative to a business-to-business campaign?
Yeah, I can answer that. Or Sean, you can. Don?
Okay, you know, we don't have, I'll tell you, the business-to-consumer market has been the main market that we've operated in. We have, you know, the social sharing piece of this thing, you know, it works much better in our retail and restaurant mail as opposed to even the automotive mail, because automotive is a considered purchase instead of an impulse purchase. And quite frankly, if you just bought a car, no matter how great of an offer we gave you, if you just bought one, you're probably not in the market for another 36 months or so. And so that's not as shareable. Whereas a restaurant or a retail operation selling clothes, hey, you know what, people are eating every day and they're buying clothes on a pretty, it's more of an impulse purchase. From a B2B standpoint, we've tested this and we don't have the case studies up here, but we've found a winning formula with the B2B, and it includes LinkedIn. And the thing that people are most interested in the B2B is information. And so instead of giving somebody an opportunity to win a shopping spree or a free chicken sandwich, there's a white paper at the end of that pearl for sharing, or there's some consulting services that are available. These are just some things that our B2B clients have used before, you know, just to get people into the landing page. Number one, you want to gather their information. Number two, you'd like to get some poll questions or survey questions answered because you're trying to narrow that audience down so you can communicate with them better in the future. And then three, you're trying to get them to make that offer pervasive throughout their social network. And maybe it's Twitter and LinkedIn and a B2B offering and not so much Facebook. We've had success with it. The numbers obviously are not as big as they are in the B2C market, but a lot of times the amount of the transaction is significantly more, so the numbers don't have to be there. But that's what we've seen in the B2B. You give a white paper or you give an offer of a free market analysis or some consulting services in order for someone to share. But you got to get a little bit more creative in the B2B market.
Great answer, John. Any other comments that you'd like to make there, Renee?
I would reiterate the same thing, that it's the same process. It's just a bit of a different strategy with a bit of a different twist on it. So,
okay.
You know, a B2B purchase is, you know, very much so something that people are going to be researching about. They're going to be looking at other providers. They're going to be comparing things. And so, again, as John mentioned, one of the main ways to do that is to provide them with research and statistics and information or free consultations. So that would definitely be the same way to get a message into someone's hands. It can still be interactive. It can still be shared. It's just going to be shared with a different audience.
Now, Renee, I have one other question, and I have a feeling that it's a more challenging one for you to answer, but I'm gonna throw it at you anyway. How's that? And that is, people always want to know when we're on a webinar what something like this costs. Could you talk to us a little bit about what the business model is around Ducky, and understanding that there are tons of other players in the market and they're all a little different?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is probably any provider that you talk to or software provider similar to us would have a similar story, that learning to price their service and their product is a continual learning curve, especially as the industry changes. So specifically for printers, we put together a model that can work at a per-piece price, or it can work at a per-campaign price. So depending on different providers have different strategies in pricing models for their clients. So we've just put it together to work with both, since that's how we primarily operate, is through marketing agencies or through printers. There's two different pricing structures. You can do a per piece price where, you know, let's say you're just adding two, three cents a pearl to the cost of each mail piece. That might be easier to just tie into a campaign cost as opposed to pitching a new add-on, you know, sales, you know, plus $500 or plus $1,000 or plus $2,500 to a client. So we've actually got a few different pricing models. Great question, though. We definitely, work with people at the level that's going to be the most effective for reaching their clients. on that price point. So.
Okay.
You probably ought to not talk anymore, Renee, just because hopefully, yeah, the way I'll be open with you guys. The way we pay is on a per pearl. We pay on a per piece basis, and I don't want to get into what we pay, but we pay on a per piece basis is the way that we're priced.
And John, my assumption is it's profitable for you.
It is the single number one thing that has transformed our business, and it's not even close. It's hands down. It has taken us from where we were to where I think in a niche in the automotive industry, which is a niche kind of industry in what we do. I don't think that there's we've grown to being, I think, the biggest guy in the industry, and the number one reason that we've done that is because of us embracing the multi-channel online interactive type direct mail.
Great. Well, thanks, John. Good feedback. I'm just going to wrap up with a couple of final thoughts.
And do you guys need me anymore, or can I jump?
You can jump, John.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, John. I think what you want to understand, and just a couple of comments, is that, you know, everybody has different levels of trust in the relationship they build. And the big thing that I think you're seeing with some of the social media tools is that you've got somebody that's not just a fan or a follower or a loyal customer to you, but what they've become through tools like this is true brand advocates. And while Ducky is one of the tools in the marketplace, there are a number of different options and alternatives ranging from, you know, Amplifinity to NextB. The big message, I think, is that as you look at and listen today, 2014 is going to be a year, I think, where social media is going to take hold. And so you guys have all taken a step that are on the webinar today to learn. I tell folks, take the time to investigate how you can use the technology and then make sure that you act. And that wraps up our webinar today, and I'd like to make sure that if you have any questions that you can continue to submit them, and we'll make sure that we get them answered for you. And